Hello, my name's Henry Goldstein from Don't Forget the Bubbles. This talk was recorded live at DFTB 17. The wheels are in motion for our next edition, and you can find out more at dftb18.com. Enjoy.
Yes, I think the topics are all very rock, and so I'm to start with REM. You know, everybody hurts sometimes. And so I just want you to sort of get in that mellow zone as you listen to this talk about chronic pain in kids. So I'm a pain specialist and anaesthetist. I do work predominantly in kids, probably about 50% in kids. I work with the not-for-profit Support Kids in Pain, which looks after kids under 14, and I do some adolescents at St Vincent's Hospital. So one in five kids will get persistent pain or chronic pain in their childhood. One in five. It's high, and you may not see all of them. In fact, you'll see the most severely dysfunctional and with the most severe psychosocial distress, not those with severe pain. And so what we're going to do this afternoon briefly is talk about persistent pain, how we diagnose it, how we manage it, and through using one example of a young girl who has a particular pain condition. And this is Sally. She was 12 when she drew this picture. 10 weeks after, she'd caught a ball at netball and just sort of hyperextended her wrist. So a bit of a sprain. She actually finished the game. It was another 10 minutes. She was in the goalkeeper position. But her hand was sore, it was swollen, she put some ice on it, went to the emergency department, they said, oh, let's check it out, did an x-ray, it was normal. They said, here's your little bit of tubey grip, go home, some Panadol, Nurofen, it'll all be fine. A week later, she came back to the emergency department. Mum said, this pain is not going away, it is getting worse. And it's still swollen. She won't take the tubey grip off it because it's too sore to move. So again, the emergency department had another look. Maybe we should re-x-ray. Maybe we missed something. Re-x-ray was normal. So they put a back slab on because it was so sore. Why don't you see the team in fracture clinic? So she finally goes to fracture clinic. It's another week. They go, ooh, it's looking red and it's swelling. It's doing some funny colour changes. Maybe we missed something, let's do an MRI. And in an MRI, it was normal. All her blood tests are normal. She's got no raised CRP, there's nothing. Rheumatology, come and have a look at it. No other joints are sore, nothing else is going on. So the orthopod in their inevitable way say, actually, there's nothing wrong. Here's an appointment for a hand therapist. You can see them next week. The pain escalates. She's not sleeping. She's keeping it outside of the sheets. She's not even using it in the shower. So one in five kids gets persistent pain, but who particularly? It's usually girls, 3-to-1 girls. The average age is 12. Most commonly, they're headaches, their abdominal pain, some musculoskeletal disorders, like this child, Sally, who actually has complex regional pain syndrome. We'll talk a bit more about her, but that's her hand, and it's not normal. So it's not the wrist that was sore and swollen, it's her hand, it looks swollen there, and if you touch it, it's icy cold, and it does change colour right in front of your eyes as she starts to sweat and she gets a little bit of sweating on the hand. So our job is really to just rule out those red flags. We've ruled out the x-ray, through x-ray the fracture. We've ruled out that there's something infective there. We've ruled out there's some other cause for this pain. And then to make a bit of an assessment of, this is moving beyond just a symptom of pain. This is actually becoming a disorder, which has its own signs and symptoms. There's swelling, there's loss of sleep. She's not going to school, she's stopped her function, she's not enjoying hobbies, and her mood's starting to decline. At the point where she presented to the pain clinic, she was on 10/5 of Targan BD, and it was doing nothing, according to her mum. So absolutely no response to opioids. You might think about weaning them then. And, you know, if it's not working, let's get them down. That's tough. And then maybe trialing the amitriptyline or something to try and help her sleep and to help with her pain, the descending pain pathways. And the rest is actually non-drug related. It's telling them that everybody hurts sometime. 1 in 5 kids will have this. This is not a symptom anymore. This is a pain disorder. And we can help you with this, but you have to do the work. So you look at the diagnosis from a biological perspective. What is it? What are the psychological factors that are interplaying with it? And how is things going? Because we know that stress can make pain worse. We know that it becomes a vicious cycle. We know that if the parents are not on the same page and there's some conflict or in no cohesion at school or at the parental level, the pain will be worse. So you get a situation where you've got a child who's fearful of anyone touching the arm or the limb. They're stressed about someone knocking it at school, or they're having a spasm at school and everyone will notice. So they don't go to school. They become isolated, sad, and the cycle continues over weeks to months. The families will often say, you know, I don't understand persistent pain. And I've seen lots of different specialists and nobody can give me an answer. There's no medical answer. And some people will say, you know, this is all therefore psychological if you can't find a particular fracture or an infection. And so they become quite frustrated and they don't know how to manage or help their child because they want to do the best. But nobody, you know, there's no cause. And some of them can really get caught, as you know, in the cycle of trying to find a medical cause. Well, the medical cause is you've got a pain disorder. You have persistent pain. And it doesn't need to be that arbitrary 3 months. It can be pain that's not responding the way you thought it would. This sprain should be getting better. At week 6, at week 8, why isn't it getting better? You know, because you've got central sensitization, you've got a sensitization of the nervous system, of the pain system. And it's different from acute pain. Acute pain, we know with rest, simple analgesics, you know, the bone heals, the tissue heals, they get better. With chronic pain, it's active management. There's no point staying in your room in a darkened environment waiting for your migraine or tension headache to go. It needs to be active, managing it, getting back to function, and then when you're back to function, your pain will decrease. That's a very difficult message to switch around and talk to families about. And it's really important that the young person understands that that hurt signal does not necessarily mean harm. The chronic headache does not mean after 4 or 5 MRI scans that you still have a brain tumour. It's not there, so hurt doesn't equal harm. And so we manage them all, biological, psychological, and social. So just this particular girl had a condition called complex regional pain syndrome, which is defined under a criteria. It's a clinical criteria. You're looking at sensory changes, so increased pain, pain to things that would normally not be painful, so allodynia. You might get those vasomotor changes. So hot and cold, pseudomotor edema, and then motor changes. And this girl actually got, it went from her hand to her foot, which is unusual, but she just progressed because she wasn't functioning and wasn't getting out and doing things, and she wasn't getting to the hand therapist. The etiology and pathogenesis is still being developed, but they get not only peripheral nervous system changes, but central changes, which you can see on a functional MRI scan. So you get not only your somatosensory cortex lighting up, but your amygdala, your prefrontal cortex, your pain memory. So this is where the nociception becomes processed and becomes pain, which is an experience. It's what you say about the pain, what it means to you. And those areas, even if you get your child back functioning, back running, back to netball, will stay for up to 12 months after. So a child who's had a previous CRPS may have another flare, and this is the reason, and you just tell the parents, we'll get you through this again, hang in there. So the diagnosis is on history, examination. You can see this limb, you start to get the wasting. She's got wasting of that calf compared to that side. You can see it's swollen, you can see it looks a bit blue, and if you touched it, it'd probably be cold. There's no investigation that can tell you this is definitely CRPS, but having excluded everything else on the history and examination, that's what this would be. And the management is that. It's that education. It's telling parents, hang in there. Kids get this. It gets better. And it gets better with work. And you can't wait for the pain to go before we start the hard work. You need to start that physio, the physical therapy, the OT and desensitizing, and how will we get you to school? How do we manage this? They need to do it. I also ask them to do some psychological therapy, whether that's cognitive behavioral therapy or some hypnotic therapy like hypnosis, mindfulness, something to calm down the pain system. And pharmacologically, nothing really takes this away, but it can help them to get sleep and to get back to function. And low-dose amitriptyline is probably the safest and easiest way to do that. There is some good evidence that vitamin C in high dose decreases that prevalence of relapse because it's an antioxidant. So it's a multidisciplinary approach, physio, OT, psychologist, to break the cycle. And it's important to win, to sort of try and, you know, get the child involved, because they're the only one who can turn down this pain. You know, we talk to them about the pain is an alert system, an acute alert system that's gone off, and for some reason it hasn't turned off. And you need to find that switch and dial it down. You need to retrain your brain that this is normal, to feel normal sensation. Tissue should feel like tissue. Cotton wool should feel like cotton wool. And so they do a process of desensitizing with the OTs and then some physical exposure, you know, just rolling Play-Doh, just stepping it up again and again, retraining the brain. And if you think about when they started to walk, it took a long time. You fell over a few times. So let's start again. Let's start to move your hand or your foot. Let's retrain it and get you in the driver's seat. And parents are so important, as you know. You want them to be able to encourage their child to do the therapy and to support them through it, but they can't take away this pain. They can't, and asking about it all the time, over-monitoring it, doesn't seem to help. So they need to sort of look at positive things. What did you do today? You know, reward the successes and the small things they've done. So self-management has the highest evidence base for management of chronic pain, and that goes for all of them, not just complex regional pain, but headaches and tummy pains. So focusing on function rather than pain, de-threatening the pain, explaining what it's about, and getting back to routine. So we run a program, and it's out of a church hall at Tarragindi, because they give it to us for $1 a year, and the parents don't pay for parking. So they come as a group, and this is this power of knowing that everybody hurts sometime. We can get you through it. You are not alone. And actually, there's three other kids in this class, you know, group, who are doing a similar thing. And so we educate them about the nervous system and how it works, why their pain might be on high alert. And they look at some of the anxiety, fear, you know, and challenge those. They look at the danger signals in me, the DIMs. And we ask them to think about things they do, like, I'm not going to go to school because I think I'll get a spasm. We change that to a safety message. What do you think you could say to yourself? Well, I'm going to go to school because probably I won't get a spasm and I'll be okay. Or if I do get one, this is what I'm going to do. So changing the danger to safety. And parents are constantly amazed at how they can't attend school, but they could come for a day with this group and team, and they have fun, and they just get back to normal kid stuff and normal function. And then we work a lot with the parents and do some family therapy on how to encourage and monitor rather than overprotect or completely minimize pain. There are lots of resources out there for them, for parents, for yourselves. probably the best in Queensland is the statewide persistent pain network. There's a chronic pain clinic at the Lady Salento Children's Hospital. There are professional bodies like the Physio Society. There's some great YouTube videos on pain, explain pain for parents. But the ACI Pain Network, which is a New South Wales initiative, has some particular youth bites for kids' pain. So if you have kids who are constantly attending your practice or the emergency department, you're trying to reinforce the pain education with them, you can get the parents onto those sites and get them to have a look at the videos. They're very powerful and it's really well done. So Queensland, for programs, we run Skip out at Tarragindi, and St V's run some for the adolescents and teenagers. And the kids love that because they get, you know, parents never understand and doctors don't understand, but a peer-to-peer would, and they find that useful. So the prognosis for chronic pain in adolescents and kids is good because you can retrain and you're picking them up at a time where you can teach them skills that are going to, you know, stay with them for life. So the remission rate for CRPS is 90% in kids. In adults, it's terrible. Kids do well. They have a relapse rate, but if they've learnt their skills for desensitising, their skills for pain management, then they tend to do well. And the younger you are, I think it's the plasticity of the nervous system and your pain system, the better you do. And we're more likely to be able to encourage them to do the things that we need them to. So in summary, kids get pain. One of the causes can be complex regional pain syndrome. Early diagnosis is good in getting them back to physical function. It often does require a lot of work and involving both physical and psychological. The prognosis is good. And this is young Sally. This was at least 8 months after the pain program, and she'd been back at school. She's actually got back to soccer, not netball. Don't know whether that's actually worse, but anyway, she's loving it. and that pain has been reframed from being something that was sort of the king of pain to Mr. Tiny Pants pain. I can control it. I can move it around. I can get back to life with it.